Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hunter Renfroe, rocking the Royals jersey, rocking the 1-6. Hunter, Josh Vernier, nice to meet you in person, man. Absolutely. How are you?
Doing well.
Appreciate you swinging by. This is an odd one to start with, but you're a big dude, so I'm trying to find out if you played football coming up.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to search without the football player Hunter Renfroe coming up. So were you a football player coming up?
Yeah, I was. I played high school football all the way through my high school career, and I really enjoyed football. I had a chance to go play college football, but I was like, yeah, those guys are really big and really fast, and I'll just stick with baseball. So
Mississippi State was interested in football as well?
I probably could have, like, walked on there. I didn't even think about it. Like, the first time I walked on campus, we're playing Alabama. I look over there. I see, you know, Ingram and those guys. I'm like, yeah, that ain't for me, dog. Yeah. I'll stick to non-contact sport over here, baseball.
Yeah. Well, shoot, man. I mean, this is becoming a Mississippi State takeover here in Kansas City. What do you think? Adam Frazier, Stratton, you got some boys out there.
Yeah. We were probably pumped about it. You know, I think JJ did a great job of communicating with actually our agent and, you know, getting all this stuff here and some really great, talented players, you know, Stratton, Frazier, you know, also some veteran leadership that, you know, been to World Series and been to playoff teams and have a lot of games under our belt to bring to these super talented young guys here. So, you know, we're super excited about this year. We're super excited about the chances of what we have in this division and moving towards the playoffs.
Was it clear to you? Okay, you're humble while you're in college, so you're hoping that you're a big leaguer. Was it clear that those other two, Frazier, Stratton, did you think, oh, these guys are going to be playing in the show?
No question. You know, for Stratton was one of the best pitchers in college baseball at the time. It was him and Gausman. Okay. And we actually got to – I was on the other end of it, obviously, but we actually got to watch, you know, him go against Gausman on a Friday night in LSU. And I think the total number of strikeouts was like 37 or 32 that night between the both of them. Both of them, I think, went full nine innings. Gausman, I think, ended up punching like 15 out. And I think Stratton ended up punching like 17. And it was remarkable to see. It sucked to be on the other end of it, obviously, you know, facing Gausman. But we actually had every pitch Gausman was throwing and still couldn't hit it. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Stratton just dominated, and he kind of put himself on that little bit higher platform after that game. And I knew from then he was throwing, you know, 97, 95 miles an hour out of college. I was like, that dude's for sure a first rounder. Yeah. You know, he's going to make it no problem. And he's not a starter anymore, obviously, but, you know, he's in the bullpen. He's a veteran leadership. He knows what he's doing. He goes out there every single day and every day, every year, and puts up great numbers. So there's no question about it.
Spoke with Will Smith earlier, told a story about his first big league game, got Derek Jeter to ground out, first batter that he faced, and he's like, oh, I'm here to stay.
Yeah.
And then gave up a bomb, a walk, and another bomb, and said, all right, maybe I'm not. Do you remember the moment where you first thought, oh, I might be able to stick around this game for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I got caught up in 2016 after a phenomenal season I had in AAA. We went to the AAA championship game, and I ended up getting beat by the Yankees AAA team in the overall championship. We won the PCL championship, and I was MVP of the league. And I got caught up after the last game of the year and actually showed up to the park. There was like four or five of us, I think, that got caught up that day. And none of us were in the lineup. We all got to come off the bench at some point during the game. But I actually got the pitch hit late in the game. I don't remember when it was, but I got the pitch hit and actually got intentionally walked my first at bat in the big leagues. And I was like, okay, maybe that's kind of great for me because I don't have to swing. I just step in the box, see the kind of atmosphere, see what's going on, and then just walk to first base. It was great for me. But the next game, I was able to go up there and actually started against San Francisco, and it was Samardzija, and got my first hit that game. Maybe in the next game or the next game, we placed Madison Bumgarner, and I ended up in a double and a homer off him. And I was like, okay, one of the best pitchers in baseball. I might be able to hold my own here. You know, yeah. It may be something I can do. And ended up that year, I did great. I was like, okay, I think I can do this, you know, for sure.
As you're going down first base after being intentionally walked, I got to imagine the dugouts letting them know they're afraid of you.
Yeah, right? I mean, I don't know.
Have numbers yet.
I know that, you know, it was a lefty, you know, it was kind of lefty-right matchup, and I actually hit a home run off that guy in AAA, so I knew kind of the guy. And so I don't know what it would mean. It ended up working out in their favor because the next guy got out and they got out of the inning, and we actually lost the game. It was against Arizona. And but so it worked out in their favor, so they must have been pretty smart.
No doubt. Hunter Renfroe joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. We're live from Royals Rally 2024 at Kauffman Stadium. What attracted you? I mean, you spoke about the organization and the moves that they made, but Kansas City as a whole, what would you say?
That's great. You know, I'm a Southern guy. You know, I'm from Mississippi, born and raised, and you know, the Midwest always attracted me. No matter what, I spent some time in Milwaukee. I love my time there. You know, just being out in more of a homey environment, like, you know, Kansas City and out in the Midwest. It's just the people, the food, the camaraderie that this brings is just phenomenal. You know, it's a little bit slower lifestyle. Incredible fan base here. And obviously, I've played with guys, you know, Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain, Moustakas, all those guys. And all they had to say was incredible things about this organization and the city and the people that this city has. Mm-hmm. And that sold it for me right there. You know, I was like, man, I want to play there. This would be an awesome place to play. And I told Q and I told JJ when I talked to him this offseason, we started kind of communicating. I said, man, this place is really high up on my list. This is where I wanted to be first and foremost. And he's like, well, we, you know, basically we want you. So they came out there. We able to work out the deal, and I'm glad to be here. Me and my family are here, so we're actually going to try to look for a house today and see if we can't get this thing done.
Seventh team in the past 5 years. What do you learn from that? Whether it's personally, professionally, what do you take away from that?
Well, first and foremost, you learn how to pack. Yeah, that's for sure. But no, it you learn a lot from different guys. Learn a lot of different faces. I wouldn't trade it for the world because the people I've met, the players I've met, the coaches I've met, has just been a phenomenal experience in baseball. Everybody's here to help and to make you a better player, and just the people that every organization brings in is phenomenal. I have nothing but great things to say about every organization I've ever been with, and being with got people like the Red Sox, Alex Cora, incredibly talented, incredibly smart. Manager kind of taught me, you know, what to look for, how to be a big leaguer, you know, how to be a better teammate in the box and on the field, and how to look for different things that could possibly help the team win. As far as, you know, possibly like looking for tips, looking for your pitcher may be tipping, look for there, and just different things. And I'm able to bring that, what I learned from different organizations, to other organizations to help them be better. And that's kind of what I feel like I can bring here is, first of all, just being a veteran presence here and helping the young guys get through struggles that I've been through and how I've overcome them. And then also just how to come here. And obviously we rate guys like Will Smith that's been in the World Series however many times. Yeah. And what he can bring and the leadership he brings is incredible.
What's impressed me just from conversations from other people around baseball, they all talk about what a great clubhouse guy you are. When you've played for seven teams in 5 years, man, I would think that the business side of it might dampen some of the, I've always dreamed of being a big leaguer.
Yeah.
What's the key to maintaining that clubhouse presence, to be that great clubhouse guy when all you're being shown over the previous seasons is you're here and then you're gone?
Yeah. That's the kind of person I am. I think, like I said, I'm a Southern guy. I never really take anything too seriously. I'm pretty down to earth fella. So
because all managers, all organizations are trying to get you to buy in.
No question.
And that's you're the thing.
You're a chess piece in the greater piece of the game. And you know, you're moved around and where they need you. And you know, like I said, like I told you, I had nothing but great things to say about every organization I was ever in. And GMs is no different. Those guys, they're trying to, they're job is on the line too, just like ours is. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to make a better product in the field. They're trying to move pieces and better their team's self for the future as well. So it may not be nothing against you. It's just it's that they think is the right move at the right time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may not see like, hey, we may not be a winning team next year, so we need to move this piece and bring in some younger guys that can help us down the road. And I completely understand that. But yeah. Like I told you earlier, I'm very thankful that I was able to be with all these different teams and meet all these great players and all these young players and have a relationship with them. Because, I mean, not very often you get to play with guys like, you know, Mike Trout, Christian Yelich, Shohei Ohtani, you know, all these great players, Tanner Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, you know. If I was with one team, you would never get that chance.
Right.
And it's pretty phenomenal.
And you look at the teams that are bringing you in. It's teams that are on the cusp, teams that are ready to win, teams that are looking for you to be one of those key cogs to help them win. And, man, you look at what you did in Boston. Look at what you did in Milwaukee, winning ball clubs, putting up big numbers. I'm curious, as you look towards last season, I mean, everything that was going on with the Angels and then, you know, the way that you moved to Cincinnati, I'm wondering if that tumultuous season that it was for the Angels, not you, but for the Angels, you juxtapose that to when you're on a winning team. Fair to say, when we're all tugging on the same end of the rope, when we all understand what the plan is, that's when you get the best Hunter Renfro.
No, I agree with that. You know, Angels last year obviously wasn't the year we wanted to have by any means. We had one of the most talented teams in history as far as, like, you look at the roster. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, when guys get injured, I mean, it's tough. You know, you got guys you're bringing up from minor leagues. We had a guy we got drafted that year playing first base.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's tough to do, and nothing against him. But he's literally 2 days out of college. You know, it's kind of tough for Nolan. But as far as, like, you know, Shohei Ohtani, I mean, you got Tommy John. You know, he was supposed to be our guy on the mound and on the plate, obviously. Behind on the plate, he's one of the best hitters in all of baseball. And when he's pitching, he's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And obviously, Mike going down didn't help, and Tony didn't going down didn't help. It's just one of those things where it's kind of snowballed out of, you know, out of way. But we were fighting the whole way. You know, the first part of the season was great. Man, we were fighting, we were scrapping, we were playing against Houston, we were playing against Seattle, playing all these Texas. I mean, incredibly talented teams. I mean, I think what Houston and Texas Seattle didn't make it. But those two teams were American League championship. I mean, so, like, you got to look at it like, man, we faced some of the toughest teams in baseball that year. So it was tough for us. But we, you know, like I said, I grew from it. I learned from my mistakes. I learned from where I needed to grow as a person and grow as a teammate and grow as a player, what I need to work on this offseason and bring into the next year. So you always look forward to the positives for sure.
What was the most eye-popping thing you saw either Shohei or Mike Trout do? And even as I'm asking that, I'm remembering that what Shohei did in that doubleheader, and we all saw that. Yeah. I'm wondering, spring training, batting cage, anything stand out?
Excuse me. I definitely saw Shohei in spring. It was like we were in the same hitting group and stuff, and me and Mike were standing there, And I believe it was – we had, like, the track man, you know, out in front of the home plate. And Shohei hit one literally, like, straight up in the air. And, you know, like, Arizona, the ball flies. Like, it does it, no question about it. But he literally hit a ball straight up in the air. It was, like, 120 miles an hour. It literally was on the track man, like, 120 miles an hour at, like, a 50-degree launch angle. And it went out by 30 feet. Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows baseball, anybody knows the mechanics of baseball, a 50-degree launch angle does not leave baseball park, no matter what. And that ball left by a good 30 feet. So that was probably the most impressive thing I ever seen. And because I look at Mike, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, this is like the first few days I've ever known Shohei. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And obviously Mike's just athletic ability is just ridiculous.
Final thing for you. Are you brave enough to pick the 49ers on a Kansas City radio station for the game coming up on Sunday?
No, not at all. Like I said, I like a lot of good players on the 49ers. You know, obviously Christian McCaffrey and those guys, but great football team, but man, you can't root against the Holmes and Patrick.
And even if you are, don't say it on the radio.
I would never. I'm Kansas City all the way, dog.
There you go, man. Hunter Renfro, kind enough to join us here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll let you get back to the fans, man. They're all waiting to see you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. There you go.
Hunter Renfro joining us here on 610 Sports Radio.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.